Paul Lambert und Karl-Heinz Riehle 1:0 für Borussia Dortmund.
Alan McInerney, meine Damen und Herren.
So welcome back to another German Football podcast, and I think it's been a bit of a quieter week as it's gone for the past month or so. Not too much happening, a couple of managerial changes again, but we'll stick to the Pokal this week, a wee bit on Hayes Val, what's going on up in the north of Germany, and previewing this weekend coming as well. So first of all, Colin, how you doing, mate? You good?
I'm good. I'm wearing my air shirt, not in humiliation. Sponsored by Bitcoin.
For the first time ever, not in humiliation.
We stayed up. We're a championship side again next season. So I'm delighted that we're not going back in the stadiums as a League One club.
I mean, there's still every chance that you might not get in the stadium next year. You might still be hanging on to the money.
I'm just choosing not to think of that possibility right now.
That's fair enough. I'm just happy that you survived, but the fact you survived put Morton into the relegation playoff, which is excellent for me. But enough of Scottish Championship football. Robert, how you doing, mate? You good?
Yeah, I'm doing good, thank you. As we were discussing before, the weather's been pretty dreadful here in Hamburg. But my flatmate said it was the coldest April in Germany since 1970, so... There you go. That's a nice little fact to start the podcast.
Lovely fact. I mean, I can feel that as well. It wasn't great, but it was also miserable here today in Cologne. We have a brighter the day, but well, even brighter now. We can talk about all the German football that happened in the past week. And like I said, we'll kind of start with the Pokal games and just get them over and done with at the start before we move into the excitement of Hayes-Val at the moment. But the Pokal, Colin, what did you make of both games? Obviously, Bremen took Leipzig to 120 minutes. It was an interesting first 60 minutes, would you say? And then it kind of just built up from there and got more exciting. But it was still a good semi-final, and Bremen took them as far as they could.
Yeah, hate to bring the Scottish Championship back into it, but at the time I was slightly less invested in German football and checking the scores from the Scottish games, but I did have one eye on Werder Leipzig. And yeah, it was a decent game. Like, you thought before the game it could have potentially been very one-sided. And I think it still could have been if Leipzig hadn't been so wasteful. They had so many chances, 28 shots to 12 during the match. And they got there in the end. A good effort from Werder, but ultimately not enough, which I thought was a shame right at the end of the extra time.
Yeah, no, they it was just, like I said, the game kind of kicked into action, you know, like really late on, obviously, but it was I think all three goals were actually well taken as well, Robert. I don't know how much of the game you managed to see yourself, but like Bremen done just enough, but they, obviously that last minute goal just absolutely killed it.
Well, yeah, I have to admit straight away that I didn't actually realise the game was on Friday. I thought it was semi-final Saturday and Sunday. I blame it on live score because it didn't show up at the top of my scores. So I woke up on Saturday morning to a kicker notification realising the game had been on. So I watched the highlights on Monday. But yeah, it looked like... from what I read as well on Kicker, it seemed like Werder Bremen really gave as good as they got and were pretty unlucky in the end, really. And some good finishing, making a difference for Leipzig.
Yeah, definitely. And it's just that sucker punch at the end. It's when you were looking at the game, Colin, and watching as long, when it got to one each, you were thinking, we're very close to the end of extra time, your penalties is on us. I think Bremen probably would have been on to win it if it was penalties. So I think Leipzig just getting that last minute goal from Forsberg, who came on, and I remember watching it thinking, I think they've brought Forsberg on for the penalties, but he ended up scoring like 2 minutes later after coming on. But I don't know if you can agree that Bremen could have had that chance to go through if it went to penalties, and it would have been a different story in the end.
Yeah, at times it did seem like they had luck on their side. struck the woodwork a couple of times, and it felt like they were just keeping on, just hanging on, just enough time, and then get it through to penalties, and they managed to carry on that luck in the shootout. I think during the previous episode, I'd discussed the chances of Werder we thought winning were very slim, and the only real chance would have been if Leipzig had been quite wasteful in front of goal. Werder could have either won by a goal or a similar scenario, just scraped it out the penalties. So I would have fancied them because I think they would have had a bit of momentum from that. They would have taken the confidence that they'd gotten through 120 minutes level with Leipzig, but ultimately it wasn't to be. I think in the end, Leipzig did deserve the win without the amount of opportunities that they'd had during the game.
Yeah, no, it was a shame for Bremen in the end, and I'm not wearing this top in solidarity for Bremen. Just happened to put that on. It would have been nicer to see, you know, Bremen back in finals again. You know, back going for trophies. It would be nice to see, obviously, Leipzig been second in the league for a couple of years. So, and you've got Dortmund as well, a huge club in Germany. Seeing both of them in the final makes sense, but it would be nice to see Bremen back in looking at trophies again. Obviously, the second game, Robert, I'm assuming you managed to see that if your app told you on the Saturday. We had Kiel losing out 5-0 to Dortmund. I don't think it was... Like, a lot of people, and I heard that the commentary... like from an English perspective, was quite rude towards Kiel, as in it was an absolute, like, it was so easy for Dortmund. Kiel went up to the standards. But I think personally, Kiel have struggled to, they're not struggled recently, but they've struggled having to play so many games recently. Surely that it just looked like they were knackered. They couldn't really keep up with the pace after a while. And that was kind of the main downfall for Kiel even before the first whistle went.
Yeah, exactly. It seemed like, especially with the two quick goals, their mentality changed fairly quickly from sort of, we can do this to, I don't think we can do this. And then it's very hard for the remaining 70 minutes or an hour. And yeah, they sort of seem to feel a bit sorry for themselves, or yeah, to bring out another cliche, had a bit too much respect for the opponents. But yeah, you feel sorry for them really, because I mean, it's one of their, Kiel, I mean, because it's one of the biggest games probably in the club's history, and they have to play it behind closed doors with sort of one eye also on possible promotion to the Bundesliga. I mean, yeah, you think if a packed out Signal Iduna Park with however many thousand travelling Kiel fans would be something they'd remember for a long time. So feel sorry for them a bit in that respect. And yeah, the fact that it came so quickly after two league games, and with, I think they've still got five more to play. So they couldn't quite concentrate on it fully.
Yeah, no, it's a kind of similar view from you, Colin, after that game. It's just Dortmund had what they needed to win, but I think that if they played Kiel at a different time, for instance, or like Robert said, maybe with fans in the stadium, it might not have been as what looked very straightforward, because I don't think it was that straightforward a win. Dortmund didn't really need to get out of, you know, second, third gear at times, but it was mainly just down to that fixture of congestion that Kiel have had.
Yeah, it wasn't as... I wouldn't say it was as comfortable as the scoreline suggests, but I think Dortmund were very clinical in their finishing. Kiel did have some poor defending, coupled with bad luck. Like, a couple of goals were deflections, with like Bellingham's goal. But Kiel did look quite decent on the ball in certain spells. Managed to hit the post with Fabian Reza as well. But really, the whole situation didn't help with having to play three games in a week, and also just spinning so many plates with the promotion fight as well. Ideally, as you said, ideally fans would have been the ground, but also there would have been just such a big build-up to the game. But it felt like it's a bit of a sideshow with everything that's been going on with the title race as well. They couldn't really prioritise it, because, I mean, as a club in the second division, they won't have the same big squad that some, obviously, Dortmund will have. So they couldn't really rotate players, because really the league is probably the priority for them. But it's a shame that they maybe would have had, that the cup was a bit of an afterthought instead for them.
Yeah, and like it doesn't really. I think we've seen a lot with the cup games this for the past year now, Robert. That it doesn't feel like it's got a semi. I didn't have a semi-final feel to it. That game, even the game before, it just didn't have that feeling about it. And I don't know if it's just the fans or just the way football's been going at the moment, but it was a bit of a non-event. Maybe it wasn't as up as much because Bayern weren't there, yes, but like, you just kind of look at that and think it was just a bit of a non-event, those two games, and the final is just going to be probably just similar. The only difference is it's going to be played at the Olympia Stadium.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, the fact that I missed the game on Friday probably suggests that. I think as well, because usually the semi-finals are midweek, aren't they? I'm not sure if they are they changing that permanently to a weekend. You don't know.
No idea.
I don't know. I think it's a good idea not to have any other Bundesliga because then it gives back that sort of magic of the cup kind of feel to it. But yeah, I don't know. It sort of felt like maybe a bit of a pre-season friendly, or especially for Dortmund against Kiel, sort of a lower division team against Dortmund. So yeah, it didn't quite feel the same. I think you can tell with the players as well, they didn't seem to quite sort of celebrate as madly as they would do if fans were there. So yeah, but I guess the good thing with the DFB Pokal is there always seems to be a few surprise teams in the semi-finals. I mean, Werder and Kiel, and in the past few years as well. So I guess that's a good thing.
No, it's a great competition, and it's always had someone coming through. Obviously, you dropped by Sessen, had a good run this season. Saarbrücken had a great run last year. But then again, the COVID incidents, just kind of ruined Saarbrücken's run in the end. They probably hampered their semi-final against Leverkusen last year, for instance. So it's something that's the past two semi-finals of the DFB Pokal haven't been so exciting. So that leads us nicely onto the final, which takes place next Thursday, to the amusement of all three of us finding this out tonight. It's actually next week, which again proves the under the carpet feeling of the Pokal this season. But so it's next Thursday, Colin. What's your thoughts ahead of that final in Berlin, RB Leipzig against Dortmund? Nagelsmann needs it to end his reign on a trophy and stop that, oh, he's never won a trophy vibe going into the Bayern job. Or do you think it would just be really nice to see Terzic and his Dortmund go? His reign as interim manager at Dortmund, if he stays next season, we're not sure yet, with a trophy as well. So is it kind of down to the trainers at the end of the day who kind of takes out something out of this Pokal?
It would be a nice finale for both teams. I think based on the two teams themselves, it will be a really good final with Bayern being knocked out. It's probably two of the most talented sides, which would make it for an entertaining game. Slightly disappointing that with the smaller sides that have come so far, that none of them actually made that final step to the final. But in a season with no fans, that feels like a waste anyway when that happens. But in terms of, I think Dortmund are looking probably as good as you've seen them this season. They've just got so much momentum, potentially breaking into the top four as well. So they've got a bit of momentum behind them and confidence. Leipzig, on the other hand, as you said, Nagelsmann wanting to go out on a high with a trophy, they'll be right up for it as well. So it's quite tough to call, actually. I mean, away from the league, in terms of league form, you go for Dortmund being the one with momentum. I think they've slightly shaded it for me.
What about you, Robert? Just remember, it's on Thursday. It's not a normal football night for German football, but it's on Thursday. Just remember that.
Well, as you can see, I'm quite surprised by that. It seems to have all passed me by. I guess not being on Twitter every day with HSV means I sort of miss these kind of things. But yeah, I think that's a bit of a shame, really. I mean, the amount of people who are going to watch the game is surely going to be less because it's on a Thursday. I'll be honest, I haven't even watched the final the past 2 years because last year, I can't remember why, it was just pandemic, so wasn't bothered. And then 2 years ago, it was final year of uni, it was exam time, and it was Leipzig against Bayern, so it was sort of, yeah, rather both of them lost. So the last one I actually watched was Frankfurt against Bayern, sorry, which probably one of the best finals of recent times. Yeah, I'd agree with Colin. I'd say that Dortmund probably shade it they seem to have shaded the league encounters between the two over the past sort of few years or so. And also they're a bit more of a sort of a cup final team. You sort of think about Klopp's final season and I think when they beat Wolfsburg the season after that, even though they'd had bad seasons, they always seem to end on a high. And yeah, because the individual quality of the team with Sancho and Haaland probably coming back from his injury. So you'd probably say they'd edge it as well, because the pressure is probably on a bit more on Leipzig for Nagelsmann to win a trophy.
Yeah, no, but I think it could be quite important for the managers at the end to see who takes it, because it might give Terzic, I don't know, maybe this is a big shout here, Colin, you can take that, but does it give Terzic a shout for going to get a club job after, if he was to leave Dortmund? I'm not sure if he will, but if he was to leave Dortmund, winning the Pokal, that's something good to have on your CV already.
Yeah, we mentioned that previously, the whole coaching merry-go-round, so many coaches moving. So if Terzic does win the trophy, that would really be good for him to forge a career of his own as a coach. Seems to have done well with Dortmund. They've improved under him, I'd say, in the league compared to Lucien Favre. He seems to be popular with the players as well. He's got that good experience working under Favre, but also working under Slaven Bilic. So I don't see why not. I don't think it's going to be a club of Champions League stature that he would end up going to, but I could see him in the running for lower down Bundesliga job, certainly.
Yeah, exactly. It could end up, an FC Köln, a team like that, for example. That could be an interesting one. I saw him being linked with that job the other day, but I don't know if he will. But we'll keep the manager's stuff out on the Bundesliga anyway, out of the podcast for today, because we're going to move on into Hattersvall. And just, I don't know if it's just me, but I generally thought that this was going to be the year that they got rid of that monkey off their back. They were going to actually do it. They were starting the season well, and they've now just got rid of another manager, which is scary. I mean, is that 10 managers in the last 7 years or something like that? That's crazy what they've done. But Robert, you no longer work with the club anymore, so I'm hoping you might be able to push you a wee bit further to giving us some opinions on what's been going on than what you would have maybe beforehand. But Daniel Tihun has been released from his duties, would you say, and Horst Krubisch has taken over. What's your initial thoughts after hearing that news?
Pretty much with everyone that I wrote with, was sent a message on Monday, and also the reacts to sort of online to the tweets, not just from external people, from Hasfar fans as well. The majority seems to be very much against it. Seems like back to the old Hasfar of sort of doing something for the sake of it at the end of the season, sort of throwing everything away just to try and get a bit of success at the end of the season. But it feels like far too little, far too late, really. It just seems like a bad decision.
Yeah, it really does. Colin, how much do you know about Horst Krubisch? He's not had a club job since 1997 for Samsunspor, so I don't even think you were born the last time he had a club job. But obviously, he's had some success with the under-20s Germany. And I think he was at the women's team in Germany at one point as well. So it's all kind of international based recently. Is that someone who's going to come in for the last couple of games and get you promotion?
I'll have you know, I was 1 year old when they had his short, ill fated spell at Samsunspor.
Oh, yeah, you're the same age as me.
I remember it very well. But since then, yeah, mainly youth. He's been working with like the under 21s from 2000 to 2016. So he's got that experience with young players, you have to say. I mean, I don't really know much about him aside from that. I mean, I know of him as an old player for Germany in the 80s. One of his clubs was Hamburg, so he's like an old figure for the club to rally around in the last few games. But as you say, it's just that short-term boost. Like, just trying to, you keep thinking that they're planning for something long term, but then they just chuck that out the window, and then they're just trying to go for a quick fix, trying to hope that new manager bounce can fire them up the table again. But you have to wonder what their like plan is, because they've gone from Tune, who's like a young manager, but before that they had like Hecken, who's sort of like a steady hand journeyman coach. Then before that they had Hannes Wolf. They just sort of keep jumping between ideas and philosophies, and you have to wonder like where they actually go next. So that I wouldn't imagine Hrubesh would be the man to take them forward long term. He's 70 now. So it'd be interesting to see where they go next, but it just seems like they don't really have a plan. They just sort of lurch between one idea to the next without sort of having the backbone to carry it through.
Yeah, I mean, you don't want to retire a man. Like, just because he's 70 doesn't mean he's built for the job. But I know, I get what you mean. It's a strange one that they went for. I genuinely thought Daniel Tierney was going to be the one that took Harris Vow up. Even if it wasn't this year, he was going to do it next year, I think. I think he's got the right philosophy. He's got the right, like, he's won 14 of his or the 31 Zweite Bundesliga games this season. It happens, and I feel like Haasval have just got this, it's like a curse now that they can't finish the last 10 games of the season. They just generally, they can't. I mean, are they now, they've not won in 5 now? Am I right in saying they've won, what's that word? Winless in 5? It's kind of, it's starting to not be funny anymore, I think. I don't know if you agree with that, Robert. It's starting to not be funny. It's starting to be, this is getting worrying. This is a big club that could really, if they don't get up this year, I really, like Colin said, you don't know what the next plan is. The next plan could kill them. The next plan could literally put them, not kill them literally, but like they could end up not being the team that's sitting at the top for the last, until the last 10 games in full. It could be worse.
I think that's what annoys the Haasval fans the most. It's the talk, especially since the end of last season, from the beginning of the season, has been about development and looking at developing young players, and sort of promotion isn't the be-all and end-all this year like it was the past two seasons. And then they've thrown that all out the window at the end of the season, because like you say, even if it hadn't worked out, which it didn't look like it was going to work out with promotion this season, at least have a bit of continuity with Tune, same playing philosophy, and can move into the next season and look to grow on it. So because yeah, I mean a lot of the players are young. You've got Onana, Ambrosius just suffered a ACL tear, Van Drongel, and yes, there's a lot of young players who need a bit of stability as well. I mean, I definitely can't help their development if they're changing their philosophy all the time. And yeah, so funnily enough, the rumour sort of started last week about Hrubesh taking over. And yeah, I did actually talk to someone in the academy setup who, wasn't particularly flattering about his work so far. It seems like sort of a classic appointment where he's sort of a club legend, a bit of an idol, but he hasn't really done much for the past sort of 10 years or so. And he's sort of there as a bit of a figurehead rather than necessarily what he can bring tactically. So, yeah, I mean, I think a lot of Haasval fans probably hope that it's not a long-term solution. But, I mean, as you say, where do you go next? Because, I mean, it's a very, sort of the fans have given so much over the past 3 years, sort of emotionally and financially to support the club. And it's just not working.
Yeah, I mean, looking, Colin, like, is there anyone that would want to take that job right now? And I know it's a huge club and it's a huge job and it's huge, it's brilliant fan base, but like, would you actually want it? It's almost becoming a bit of a poison chalice that you're there. If you win almost half your games, but you're not with the last couple of games in contention for winning the league, you're gone. I mean, would you want to take that? You could completely, like, I don't think Tune's ruined themselves, but there's a chance that Tune could, like, I mean, I saw him being linked to the Paderborn job, for instance. That's, I would just like to see him go a bit higher than that, for instance. Do you think that managers could be put off that job?
I don't think. I think with the size of club they are, they'll always manage to attract a decent calibre of coach. It's just, it's like the sort of frame of coach that Tune is, like a young coach that's desperate to prove himself, trying to get onto that next level. It's quite a big risk for a coach like that. So that might make a coach like that a bit reluctant. But the likes of, I mean, they'd gone for like a Hecking before that. It's a, that's the kind of coach I think they'd always be able to attract. But I think they'd want to, they should want to build something a bit more long term, that they can build a coach, build a team around a coach's philosophy. But it's getting harder and harder because not just the coach, but also a lot of players have came to the club and underperformed. And it's just such a pressurised environment that it's not really conducive to maximising their potential. I don't know. It is still a big club that should be able to attract big names like that, but we need to see, because the longer they go without getting promotion, the further the pressure goes.
It's just pressure upon pressure for managers now. And like, I think I saw Baumgart could be, I mean, he's linked to every job in Germany at the moment, but he was a name that could head up HSV next year. But I think one name that won't be there, Robert, which will be quite disappointing, probably for HSV fans as well, that Simon Terodde has jumped to Schalke and Ophir next season in the Zweite Liga. Excellent signing for Schalke, but HSV, I mean, like, you talk about trying to get continuity and consistency in a squad, getting rid of your top goal scorer, not getting rid of him, but like the fact that he's left and he couldn't entice him in, that's probably really disappointing.
I think I heard that part of the loan deal was that FC were paying part of his wages, and that his wage demands are pretty high for the Zweite Liga. So I think it's possibly not a huge surprise, because also it seemed like from the beginning he was talking about this sort of a one season and getting promoted and then leave again. And I'm sure it's sort of enticing for him to carry on his time in the Zweite Liga and continue scoring goals with another big club. I think possibly, maybe talking about it, might be the best thing that he's not there, because then it gives chance for possibly a younger striker. Maybe Manuel Windsheimer has done pretty well this season, although he hasn't been given a huge amount of chances, considering he's played pretty well. So that could give him a bit more space to blossom. And I mean, Torada's 34, I think, so it's not exactly a long-term solution. So if anything, it might be better if he did leave. Although having said that, I mean, if he wasn't there this season, HSV will be even further down the table when you think about before Christmas, quite a lot of close games that he managed to nip in and get a goal. So yeah, I mean, a good signing for Schalke. It's just, yeah, his form over the past few games hasn't been so good, so interesting to see how he goes when he starts in Gelsenkirchen in August.
Yeah, and it'll be interesting to see if he remains the Zweite Liga Fußball God. I mean, he's, like Colin was saying in our chat the other week, during the week, that he's making his way around all the North Rhine-Westphalia clubs now. I think he must have been quite a few of them now. He can't be missing much. But just finishing up on that, Colin, do you think that Hamburg have just completely held their hopes of promotion now, even if, like, you know, obviously there's three games to go and they're 8 points off top, so they were never going to win the league, but there's still that chance that Kiel could slip up, for instance. I fancy Dusseldorf. If there was a team to, I know it's hard saying that as a Köln, the FC Köln fan, obviously, but like, I would back Dusseldorf more than HSV now in these final three games to go after Kiel. I don't know if it's just because of the change, but you can agree with that as well.
Yeah, I mean, Dusseldorf have momentum. They're in a similar sort of situation as 1860, that they've gone a wee bit under the radar. They were inconsistent earlier on the season, but they've really built up a good run of form recently. Managed to get that late win against Karlsruhe as well on Monday night, which was vital for them, because that's got them level in points with HSV now. So, yeah, I'd probably fancy Dusseldorf over Hamburg, but I still think Kiel, with their two games in hand, already above Hamburg as well, definitely stand more of a chance. Bochum, it looks like, will go up for a good chance. They are going to finish in the top three. So Hamburg are really aiming for third, I think, but Kiel and Düsseldorf are in very favourable positions without the pressure and negative form that Hamburg are experiencing right now.
Yeah, and same from you, Robert. Do you think Hamburg will be as vital league a club next year? Do you think they've kind of ruined their chances now of getting promotion?
Yes, yeah. Yeah, I mean, like Colin said, Kiel have moved past them and have two games in hand. Dusseldorf have a bit of momentum, and HSV have no momentum at all, and have, I think it's won two of their last 14 games, something like that. So not in, it's not like it's just a sort of a bad patch either. And then as the sort of factors we talked about before, the pressure from outside, and yeah, I mean, possibly one good thing is they've got a sort of easy enough running, saying they're playing Osnabrück and Braunschweig. But yeah, so no, I don't think it's going to be HSV season again.
Well, so it looks like a fourth season in the Zweite Liga for Hamburger SV. Not what they expected when they went down with FC Köln not so long ago. But it's had to mention FC Köln there, of course. They're nothing to do with FC Köln, but just chuck a wee mention. And also quite disappointing, Colin. I spoke well of Fortuna Düsseldorf, and you kind of played down the fact that they could get promoted. Surely you got a fancy Fortuna there.
What?
Surely you've got a fancy Fortuna.
I can just see your smug face though if they lose the playoff to Köln or something like that. I'm just,
I imagine the scenes.
Not gonna speak them up too much. Not gonna talk them up just now. And then when it actually happens, when they swap places with Köln, I can gloat.
You'll not go on the podcast anymore after that. We'll see. The podcast will end if Kelowna are below Düsseldorf. Anyway, moving on. We're going to take a look at what's coming up at the weekend, but you know, that actually starts tomorrow or earlier on. It depends when you listen to this, because it's we'll be releasing this after Hertha BSC will play, obviously, Robert's new favourite team, SC Freiburg, as you sponsor Freiburg for today's podcast, Robert. We'll start with that game. What do you think about that, Robert, coming up? Are you wanting Freiburg to win? Is that why you're in the top, or is that just coincidental?
My cousins grew up in Germany, and one of them, both of them took a liking to Freiburg, and then also one of them studied in Freiburg. I actually had a Freiburg 2008 shirt, I think, as like a youngster. They bought for me, and was actually in the Olympiastadion in March 2018 for Hertha against Freiburg. Probably the worst football game I've ever seen. It got a mention in the end of season kick, Elf Freunde, because it was 0-0 and absolutely freezing. And I think Freiburg didn't even get into the Hertha half in the second half. So yeah, that was pretty. It was pretty impressive. But and also a big fan of Hummel, as Colin is as well, so had to get in the end of season sale. I mean, you sort of think Hertha possibly a bit of a, maybe not quite the same, but a bit of a new HSV really. I mean, when you think about everything that's happened with the club the past year, and then obviously this week as well with Jens Lehmann, showing himself up, I think, to say the least, in public. I mean, the game on Monday, Hertha had a lot of chances to put the game to bed and get an important 3 points. And the pressure is very much, very much on them. And the game's sort of like Kiel before, the game's coming thick and fast for them, and the pressure's on. So,
yeah, I'm calling Hertha Mainz, you know, like Robert touched on there. It was, I thought it was a very entertaining game. For me, Mainz. Again, like to be fair, Robert said about Hertha missing a lot of chances. I think Mainz also missed a few chances that they should have put to bed. But that Piontek miss has to be the biggest one. I mean, I don't know what he's doing. And he's kind of getting... we mentioned a couple of weeks ago about the run of games that are going on, how many strikers that they've got. Like, he's got his chance to go in, and he's went and done that. I mean, what's going on?
Yeah, I mean, both sides are chances. I remember thinking Cunha's chance was great, that he squandered, he had it straight at the keeper, and then Mainz went up and equalised not long after, and then Piontek with that miss. For a player that's worth that amount of money, like, to miss chances like that, pretty unforgivable. Because we'd previously gone on about how Piontek really hasn't had the opportunities, but then when he's coming on and not being able to finish a chance about 4 yards out is really not helping his case. But yeah, Hertha had chances, but as you said, Mainz did as well. I thought Hertha at times defensively were quite all over the place. So I think in the end they'd take the point, but that's really contingent on winning home games like the one tomorrow or tonight, as you're probably listening. But I think they would have taken beforehand 4 points in those two games.
No, yeah, so that's the first game coming up on today. It's confusing to talk about a game that's already happened when the podcast has been out. But do either of you see a Hertha win there? Because we all kind of said before, a win-win for Hertha puts them above Köln properly, and that probably sees them in a good chance of getting the playoff spot. So, Robert, who do you see coming out at the top of that one?
I think it's going to be another draw, to be honest. Freiburg have been pretty decent the past few months, really just sort of picking up points every now and again. As I said before, the pressure's all on Hertha. So I think another point for them would make it all pretty interesting down at the bottom. That's my prediction, a draw.
Colin, you going for something similar? Because I am. I think it's going to be a draw as well.
I think it's going to be a draw as well. Freiburg, the kind of side you look at, a home game against Freiburg, you can just write them off, and that's a nailed on 3 points. That'll be what Hertha are aiming for, but you can't really just rule them out, because they've had these games during the season that you'd think are so winnable for Hertha, but they've not taken the opportunities. They lost away to Freiburg in a very abject performance just before Christmas, I remember. So I'll go for a draw, because it'll just look so close. Those games in hand look so inviting for them that they've got those chances to get 3 points, because if they win this game, then they're up to 14th, level with Werder and Armenia, but above them on goal difference. But I can see them squandering the chance. But they've got so many winnable games in a run, because they've got Bielefeld at home at the weekend after that, so they need to start winning games.
They definitely do. And we'll go into the rest of match day 32. You know, we're getting very close to the end of the season. 3 matches left for most of the teams. Obviously, Hertha's quarantine ruined up for most of the sides. In that kind of sense, they've still got a few to go. But we start Friday. We'll just kind of run through them quite quickly. Can I give wee predictions and stuff? We've not done this for a while, actually. So we'll just enjoy going back to the basics of reviewing the weekend's action. First was Friday night. Stuttgart are at home to Augsburg. Robert, go you first. What's your thoughts ahead of this? What are you thinking? And there is a prediction.
Very interesting in Augsburg, because they changed their manager as well and brought in Marcus Weinziel again, who sort of became, that's where he made his break really in Augsburg. And they're not quite out of the woods just yet. I mean, I'd be very surprised if they did get pulled back into it, but they do need a point in the Swabian derby. I'm going to sit on the fence again and go for a draw.
Okay. Colin, Stuttgart, Augsburg. Does it sound like an absolute classic?
Friday night. It's always a classic on a Friday night. But I'd expect Marcus Weinziel to hit the ground running with a victory in his first Augsburg game. They have been abject recently, but I expect they'll be okay in the end. Stuttgart they've pretty much checked out for the season. They've struggled since Womanga got that injury. That was a big setback for him and the club as well. They're secured in the mid-table position. As a promoted team, they've done well to get that mid-table finish. So they don't really have much to play for. I think I'm going to go for a 2-1 Augsburg win.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a draw as well. I'm going to go for a 1-1 there for that game. Moving on to Saturday, you've got what will be the... That's actually quite funny. They'll play each other twice. I didn't even think about that. And this is going to sound like we didn't prepare this at all. But Dortmund are playing Leipzig on Saturday, and then they'll play them again on the Thursday. So let's talk about Dortmund and Leipzig again. Robert, do you think that's going to happen to either team going into the final? this game on Saturday? Because sometimes you always look at it as one team's going to win one team will win the other. Or do you think do you see Dortmund continuing their fine Bundesliga form of recent times and potentially make that jump into the top four with a win at Leipzig?
Yeah, I think this game means a lot more to Dortmund than it does to Leipzig, because Leipzig have got second place pretty much wrapped up already. And Dortmund are putting the pressure on Frankfurt. So I think if Haaland's back and fit, I'm not sure what his his status is. But as always, you can see a difference that it makes when they have Jadon Sancho back in the team as well. Thorgan Hazard seems to have hit a bit of a purple patch of form towards the end of the season as well. So I'm going to go for a Dortmund win.
Yeah, Haaland seemed to enjoy himself on Saturday night watching those goals. The camera also seemed to enjoy him. They showed him more than most of the Q players they did. But Colin, what's your thoughts ahead of that? I know I've just spoken about Dortmund and Leipzig, but here we go again.
I'd expect Dortmund to win, but it's making me doubt my final prediction of them winning that as well. Dortmund are the one that need the points. Dortmund have the momentum in the league. Leipzig, I mean, the league's gone. So, yeah, Dortmund at home, I'm going to go for them to win and pile the pressure further on Frankfurt and Wolfsburg.
I agree. I think Dortmund should... I think Bundesliga form is always different. Even when you're in the competitions, when you come back to league form, your head's into the league form and your head's thinking we need to get back into this top four. I think Dortmund will probably go and win that game on Saturday. Not going to give a score prediction because I've got no idea. Anyway, Hoffenheim and Schalke, Robert. That's got a bit of a meh feeling about it, doesn't it? Hoffenheim are pretty much, they're definitely not going to get dragged into it anymore. It looks, you'd hope. And Schalke are obviously now down, unfortunately. It's a bit of a nothing game, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely. Imagine a bit of a damp squib. I guess the one thing for Schalke, I think, as we talked about before, is probably quite important for them to get some good results, because as we've seen with teams before who've gone down to the Zweite Liga in a bad run of form, they've continued that when they've started in the second division, because you sort of forget how to get out to win games. So maybe Gramotzis will be looking to do the double over Hoffenheim. And maybe, Huntelaar will roll back the years and fire in a hat-trick so him and Torodde can play up front next season for them.
You seem to like Huntelaar. You mention him every time you've been on, I think, nearly. But
one of my first memories of German football, really, is used to watch the Europa League on Thursday nights, and that was when him and Raul were playing up front for Schalke, and that's pretty special times for Schalke fans.
Wow.
I imagine.
Remember that. Remember Schalke in Europa League? Look at them now. Such a shame just to see what's happened. Colin, much more you can add to that, unless you don't think Huntelaar will score a hat-trick?
I mean, it's one of the fixtures that you just look at and think it's not really much going on there in terms of what's to play for. Hoffenheim really are safe, you would say. Schalke just playing for pride, try to get a bit of momentum under Gramotzis. And let's not forget, Hoffenheim are one of the teams that have beaten this season. They could hope to continue that. They've not won away from home yet. So they'll be determined to not go without a victory away from home. But in terms of a result, I mean, it's always tough to predict Schalke getting anything. I'm gonna predict them to get a point.
Wow, I was about to say, I don't think you were going to say anything there. It just looked like it couldn't come out of you to say that Schalke were going to pick up anything. But eventually,
you're trying to talk positively about them, but then it just flies back in your face when they just lose again and don't score. I would love to see Huntelaar score a hat trick, though.
No, okay, that's fair. It's just the two of us, and I'm joking. I don't agree. I was going to answer, but we'll see. We'll see what he manages to come up with at the Pre-Zero Arena on Saturday. I mean, this game's looking like one of the big, like And there's another game that looks quite big, for instance, in terms of it's always a good fixture. But this one for me, Wolfsburg Union, that looks like a really good fixture coming up. Both teams are still obviously looking to consolidate a place in Europe if they can. Union probably need to win more than, well, obviously need to win more than Wolfsburg do, but Wolfsburg don't really want to jump out of the Champions League, Robert. So it could be an interesting game, that one.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, it's shaping up to be quite an interesting conference on Saturday, apart from the Hoffenheim Schalke game.
Well, not sure that.
Yeah, because they're lost because of their loss to Dortmund a few weeks ago. It's a bit tighter now. And two pretty good defensive teams. So you imagine it's going to be a fairly tight game. And yeah, Union's still with a chance of getting into Europe, which is pretty crazy to think about, really. But I reckon Wolfsburg are just going to nick it because they got that little bit extra experience and that little bit extra motivation to get into Champions League.
Yeah, do you see anything different from that, Colin? Union could go and try something there. They probably, and I think a draw is a fair result for both teams, but Union probably needed 3 points more than Wolfsburg did. Wolfsburg are guaranteed European football, but I think they prefer that they were going into the Champions League.
I think Wolfsburg do have the motivation with Dortmund coming behind them, though, because I think both Wolfsburg and Frankfurt are under quite a bit of pressure. Because there was that gap between themselves and Dortmund, but with Dortmund's form recently, and there's only 2 points between Wolfsburg and Dortmund. If Dortmund can beat Leipzig and Wolfsburg lose to Union, then there's the possibility that Wolfsburg by the end of the weekend could find themselves out with the Champions League spots, which a few weeks ago would have been inconceivable. I think they've got the sufficient motivation that they'll go on to win and beat Union.
I'm gonna stick the fence. I think about a draw. I don't think it really benefits either team. A draw, probably more Wolfsburg than Union in the end, but you can see a draw coming from that game. And then the next one's a bit, I don't know. I think Leverkusen have. Do you think Leverkusen have got European football now, Robert? Do they need to beat Bremen to make sure they're going to stay ahead of Gladbach and Union, or do you think with 4 points in the last three games that might just be enough for them?
Yeah, I think it's just going to be enough for them. And sort of funny enough, even though Bremen did play pretty well last Friday, we've sort of seen that before where it's easier to get motivated for a cup semi-final and then the form drops off again and the intensity drops off again for the league game. And yeah, we've talked about before how bad Bremen's run is. I think it's 7 losses in a row in the league. The quality in Leverkusen, they haven't been sensational under Hannes Wolf, but they've at least been a little bit better. I don't think it's quite safe just yet because both Gladbach and Union are just behind them. But I think they will get it. I think they'll win this one as well.
Yeah, from a Bremen side, Colin, not that you're a Bremen fan, but just take it from a Bremen side if you can. They badly need a result. It's not really the best game to come round for needing a result, is it?
No, because Leverkusen have improved under Hannes Wolf. They've picked up a bit of momentum. Thought they played very well against Frankfurt. And had it not been for Kevin Trapp, they would have scored more goals in that game. So Leverkusen still have that motivation to secure Europa League football, and I think that will come to a cost with Werder, who after the work that they put in against Leipzig, this league game might be a bit too much for them.
Yeah, no, it could be an interesting game at the Weserstadion on Saturday. We move to Saturday evening game, and by this game, Robert, Bayern could know if they're champions or not, like once again, depending on the result in Dortmund. Like I was mentioning earlier, that Wolfsburg Union looks like a great match. Bayern against Gladbach is always a brilliant game because Gladbach usually always take it to Bayern and always put up a really good performance, especially the Allianz. So do you think it could be another one of those games, especially with Gladbach still chasing European football, and you know the last result being a 5-0 win, they gain a bit of momentum recently.
I think it's going to be a sort of classic Bayern performance at home this season, where Gladbach possibly go one or two goals in front in the first half, and then Bayern come roaring back in the second half to probably seal the title and possibly end Gladbach's European hopes as well. Obviously, I think that depends a bit on the cup result, doesn't it? But yeah, so that's how I see it. That's how I see it going, especially with Bayern having a bit of rest, considering how busy their season's been. Like a week off for them is pretty big. So yeah.
Yeah, it could be crucial for them actually, because we've said all season how Bayern have been really like, I know you can't say, oh, woe is Bayern, but they've not really stopped in the past year at all. So it's probably nice for them to not even think about crossing that white line. But I'm sure they don't think that. If you're a professional footballer, you probably want to be playing football. But for that 1 week, Colin, I mean, they're probably going to be good for them. Looking at that game, do you see similar result? I mean, they can't, like Robert said, they can't be let that be a normal thing, going 2-0 down. But like, it's happened so many times. Do you see Gladbach doing something like that? I don't know. I know they just scored 5 goals at the weekend, but I don't really fancy them to score that many this time at the Allianz.
Well, interestingly, Gladbach of the big teams are probably the most likely to give Bayern a game. They certainly more so than like Dortmund have been in recent years. Gladbach have put in a few good performances and beaten Bayern, but with the motivation for Bayern to seal the title, I think they'd want to do that after a win. And as you said, they've had that wee bit of respite that they haven't really had for months, so that they can use that to their advantage and have a bit more of a fresh side and manage to secure the win.
Yeah, so Bayern looking like the prop. I mean, let's say looking like they'll have won the title already, but they will win the title from Saturday evening, it looks like. We move on to the Sunday games. There's 3 games on Sunday, obviously, to do with Hertha playing on Thursday against Freiburg. So the first one kicking us off is FC Köln against Freiburg. Robert, are you hoping your family team of Freiburg is going to beat FC on Sunday, or do you think that Köln could end up grabbing a wee result here? It's kind of one of their most favourable ones in the running.
Yeah, well, I think as we're been a recurring theme this evening, but fatigue as well, because you think for Freiburg playing on Thursday and then Sunday will remind them of their Europa days. I think, like you say, it's a big chance for Köln to get some points with Friedhelm Funkel as well. So I'm going to be bold and predict a Köln win in this one.
Very nice. I am going to also agree with that. I think Cologne are going to win this game. And that's not the inner Cologne loving here fan inside of me, not at all. But after going through what happened in that second half against Augsburg, I think every person who supports FC Köln deserves it. They deserve a win after going through that 45 minutes a couple of weeks ago. But Colin, what's your thoughts ahead of that game? Because it could be a good game, actually. Big fan of the podcast, Christian Günther. I mean, we're a big fan of him. He's not a big fan of us. I mean, he could be. We don't know. But like Christian Günther's mentioned all the time, he's had an outstanding season. His double against Schalke recently was brilliant. Freiburg have really impressed this season. But do you think that they've kind of, the season, like you said about Stuttgart, they've dropped off now. Do you think Köln could pick up the points?
He probably was a fan, but then he keeps hearing you mention his name and he's like, shut up.
I expect that way, isn't it?
Yeah, Köln have unexpectedly improved recently with Funkel coming in. They've got that bit of momentum behind them. And as you say, Freiburg have the disadvantage of playing on the Thursday night beforehand. And yeah, I just think at this stage of the season, Köln need the points more with a home game against Freiburg. Well, having said, I think Köln's home record has been pretty dire, but they did manage to get that win against Leipzig, so that might be a bit of confidence for them when they're playing at home So I'll go for that. I think it'll be a good narrow game, but Cologne to just edge it.
Roy, are you going to go to the stadium on Sunday? I saw last time, the last game, there was a few fans outside chanting. Are you going to be there as well?
I think I'll refrain from this one. Mainly the fact that St Mirren against St Johnstone Scottish Cup semi-final kicks off exactly or just a couple of minutes before the FC Cologne game wins. Yeah, well, I think they're going to win. But after FC won, St Mirren will have to play St Johnstone Scottish Cup. So I think I might just refrain from that one just for now. Maybe for the last game of the season if we need to stay up. I live quite far. I don't live that close to the stadium, to be sure. But I'm going for a Cologne win as well. So I saw three of us. Is that the first thing that's ever happened? We've all agreed on a Cologne win? Definitely. Stranger things have happened.
Probably.
Into the Sunday afternoon game, Frankfurt against Mainz. You know, that kind of derby, kind of not really a derby, but they're close enough to be recognised as a local derby technically. But when we Frankfurt fan Julian on, friend of the show, says they don't really care about them, to be honest. So what do you think about that, Robert, the Frankfurt-Mainz game? Could be a good game, considering Mainz have been so impressive and Frankfurt have got that pressure on them.
Yeah, well, it's also kind of Frankfurt against Frankfurt B team as well, because they've got Danny Da Costa and Dominic Kaur, and maybe I think I might be forgetting someone else as well. But yeah, it's been so a big... We're big fans in the podcast of Mainz, and they seem to have done pretty well the past few weeks. Pretty incredible how many points they've picked up, really. And it seems to be the wheels sort of seems to be falling off a bit for Frankfurt. Because there's talk about Silva not staying in Frankfurt, and possibly Kostic moving as well. Sorry, that's a bit of a different point, but Kostic seems like someone who'd be very well suited for the Premier League, really. That kind of pacey winger, so you'd imagine quite a few Premier League teams would be interested in him. Well, the pressure's all on Frankfurt, really. And I'm going to go for a draw.
Quite a few draws today. You've went for, you're kind of sitting on the fence a bit here, aren't you?
Yeah, a cautious man.
Cautious. Well, it's good like there's nothing riding on it in the end. Colin, do you also agree with a draw there? It could be a good game.
Yeah, I remember around this similar stage last season, Mainz managed to win at Frankfurt in the, as you say, kind of local derby. But at that stage, it was a lot more important for Mainz as they needed to pick up points. But I mean, lucky for them, well, not lucky, but through their performances, they've got to this stage where the points aren't so important. We talked about previously, this stage of the season was going to be so tough for them with the teams that they're playing, but they've got themselves into position that they've almost secured safety anyway. So, yeah, the pressure is off a wee bit. The pressure's on Frankfurt with Dortmund being behind them. And I don't like agreeing with people, but I'm going to go for a draw as well.
You still like agree with people in general or just for predictions?
Just in general.
Fair enough. It's nice to be controversial. So no, I'm going to back. I think Mainz might falter for the first game. I think the Thursday they played well, but I think that this will be the first loss they have in a long time, especially under Svensson. So I'm going to back Frankfurt to win that game. But Hertha Berlin, Arminia Bielefeld is the final game. I mean, is that going to be a game of the weekend, or do you think it's just far too many games for Hertha by now that they might not put everything into that game as they might have if they'd already played the games that they have in hand, Robert?
Yeah, it seems like the classic game where there's too much on the line and also the teams are a bit fatigued, so it'll be a very tight encounter. I'm going to stick my neck out for this one after your comment last time, so I'm going to say I think Hertha are going to get a very important win and possibly put a Arminia Bielefeld back in the mix. I mean, on a separate point as well, just breaking news that Unterhaching have been relegated from the Dritte Liga. Talking about sort of relegation in the Zweite Liga as well, I think it's so, as a devout Zweite Liga fan, it's going to be so interesting next season because there's so many big teams in the mix to go down from the first division. And also if Hansa 1860 and Dynamo are promoted back. I mean, that's some really big names in the second division next season. So something very much to look forward to.
Definitely is. Soon to get a bit of interhacking going down then. Forgetting about our lovely Schalke. But it's one of the first teams in the top three divisions to announce the relegation. But I am going to go for a Bielefeld win. And I think Bielefeld are going to win this and they're going to keep, that's them, they'll survive. Stick my neck out then, since you did. I suppose we should all do it. Watch Colin not agree with either of us because he doesn't like agreeing. Colin, what's your opinion here?
I'm going to agree with Robert for this one. I can see a Hertha win for this. Bielefeld, they got that win against Schalke, but then they just looked pretty shattered against Gladbach in that game. They'd improved under Stefan Kramer, but it felt like a bit of a callback to some of their previous performances in the league, where they looked a bit outclassed in the Bundesliga. But that'll be a blow to their confidence. I'm not saying they're going to go out the rest of the season without another result, but for this one anyway, I can see Hertha pulling the win off. And as we've said previously, early in the podcast, if they don't win against Freiburg, that makes it all the more important with each game that they do manage to pick up a victory. So I think they'll manage it against Armenia.
Interesting. Brand new manager they've got as well, Stefan Kramer. Read blank.
I'm thinking of Stefan Kramer, the guy that was at Erdingen. Frank Kramer. That's it, Frank Kramer.
Doesn't matter.
At least we didn't say Christoph Kramer this week.
Yeah, no, we're getting closer to his name. So I don't know. I just feel like Bielefeld might have that wee last game in them to go and do it. But it could be an interesting one to end match day 32. Going into what will be the last two games of the season. But we'll finish up with the chat there and we'll go into a quiz that I'm going to host because I've not done really well in the quizzes for the last few while. It'll be nice to pit Robert against Colin. I think this is for the first time. Word of warning, Robert, he's very fast for no apparent reason, and he just comes in. And unlucky for you, this is a quiz where you have to come in first. We're going to... Basically, what I've done is thinking about the end of the season now. You the Pokal, and you know things like player of the years is coming up. So what we're going to look at is a mixture. I've got like 10 questions mixed between Pokal of winners and things like that, and I've got 5 questions on like Bundesliga winnings and player of the years, things like that. So we're just going to mix them up. Most of them are only 1 point. One question is worth more, but that'll make sense when we come to it. So if you guys are ready.
Are we like buzzing in or just shouting it out?
Shout out. And then if you share it at the same time, I'll decide who wins. we'll see. No, I'm joking. But if you are good to go, we'll just get started and I'll just figure out how I'm going to randomize this because I realize I've wrote them in order and I don't want to say them in this order. But we'll just go with it, okay? Are you both ready?
Yes.
Okay, so first question. Which team from North Rhine-Westphalia has won the most DFB Pokals?
Dortmund.
Incorrect.
Do you say it's wrong?
Yep, incorrect.
Crash, guess again.
Schalke.
I think if you get it wrong, it's fair that we give the other person an answer.
Right.
Schalke.
Correct. 1-0 to Robert. So you get for jumping in early. Okay, so second question, 1-0 to Robert. I think this is going to be quite a difficult quiz. So we'll see what you think of some of these questions. In the 2010-11 Bundesliga season, Borussia Dortmund won the league. Who came second?
Leverkusen.
One each. That was quick. See, I told you he's far too quick all the time.
That was very impressive. Yeah.
One each, yes. Leverkusen, they came second to Bayern Munich, coming third that season. I think it was only 1 or 2 points in it, but that is one each here. Next question. In 2014, which two players won the gold Fritz Walter medal? 2014, so the year Germany won the World Cup.
Philip
Lahm. One of them, Max Meyer.
Wait, oh, is that that's the youth player, yeah?
Yeah, to point out that's the youth one. Your first guess, yeah. Robert, is wrong. Max Meyer was not a winner.
Draxler.
Nope.
Whoa.
I'll give you a few guesses because this is probably the hardest one.
Bellarabi.
Nope. I can't do math. 7 years ago now.
Kimmich?
Nope.
Weigl?
Nope. I'll give you two more guesses each.
Zane?
Nope.
Waldschmidt?
Nope. One more guess each.
Goretzka?
Nope. Last guess for Robert.
Abin Yunus?
Nope. I'm surprised you didn't say one of the names. One of them was, firstly, I think it was for the under-18s age group was Julian Brandt. And under-19s was Nicholas Stark. So no points to go for that one. Could have been two.
I didn't realise Nicholas Stark was that young, to be fair.
Yeah, yeah. So he was in 2014. He won that. So next question. Which Austrian sides have won the Pokal when it was known as the Schammer Pokal?
Rapid Wien.
That's one. 1 point to Colin. There's two clubs.
Austria Wien.
Nope.
Sturm Graz.
Nope.
Blimey, this tests my knowledge of Austrian teams. Like, poor.
If you listened to the podcast a while ago, me and Ronan had a quiz that featured this very question in a different format.
I'm struggling for Austrian teams now. Is it Vaka Innsbruck? Is that one?
No, I wasn't. No, I'll give you two more guesses each from now. Vaka Innsbruck was wrong, though. Sorry.
SV Salzburg.
No. Remember, it was a very long time ago. Because obviously it was the Schammer Pokal before it was the Pokal.
I'm gonna pass this round. I'm gonna hand it over to Colin.
One more guess, Colin. You got the easy one. The second one's difficult.
I've already got my point from this round. I'll just pass.
Oh, we're passing. So the one you were looking for was First Vienna, First Bean. So
I don't think I've ever heard of them, to be honest.
They've got a funny badge with like three legs coming out of the football. But First Vienna. So it's 2-1 to Colin after that one. It's quite a difficult round. Like I said, it was quite a difficult quiz. So he's doing not bad so far. Sticking on that theme. Which club was the very first winner of the DFB Pokal in 1935? So after it changed from the Schammer Pokal to the DFB Pokal.
Schalke?
Nope.
Nuremberg.
Well done. Good shout. 3-1 to Colin. Did you just guess that or did you know it?
I guessed that.
Oh, fair. Yeah, fair play.
Their club.
Yeah, Nuremberg featuring twice because Nicholas Stark played for Nuremberg when he won the Fritz Walter medal. So next one. Which Bayern Munich manager won more games in charge? Louis van Gaal, Carlo Ancelotti, or Hansi Flick?
Van Gaal.
Flick. Like,
Robert, no, yeah, it was Louis van Gaal won, I think he won 65 games. Hansi Flick so far has only won 50-something, but he's not going to beat it, so that's why I included him in the question. 3-2. So it's actually quite close. So this is the question that I'll award 4 points for, because you need to name four teams. Wolfsburg won the league in 2008-2009. Name the following four teams. So the top five.
In order?
No, just name the teams.
HSV.
1 point to Robert.
Bayern.
1 point to Colin. Shout them out, guys.
Leverkusen.
Wrong.
2008.
Werder
Bremen.
Nope.
No?
Nope. I've got that.
Stuttgart.
Yep. 5-3, Colin. Last team. Which team finished? I think this team actually finished fifth.
Hanover.
Nope. Although the year before, I think they finished, or the year after.
Yeah,
they
finished. Good shout. Yeah.
Yeah, well done, Hertha.
Yeah.
6-3.
Favre, yeah.
Yep. So we've got three questions left. It's 6-3 to Colin. There is three points up for grabs. So Robert, if you want to win, you're going to have to win all three. Which current Regionalliga side made it to the final of the DFB Pokal in 2003-04 season, losing 3-2 to Bremen, and they beat Bayern Munich in the quarterfinals?
Aachen.
Yep, 7-3 to Colin. I think he's got you there. He's got you there.
Yeah.
Two questions to go, so we'll just power through them. Which current Drittliga side won the Pokal in 1985, 84-85 season, beating Bayern Munich?
Drittliga side, you said.
Sorry?
Kaiserslautern?
Nope. What did you say, Colin?
Drittliga side, you said.
Yeah, Drittliga side. Current Drittliga side.
Duisburg?
Nope. Although they have been very well and done very well in the Pokal the past couple of years anyway.
Yeah, they've always been runners-up.
Yeah.
1860 Munich?
Nope.
Waldhof Mannheim?
Nope. 1985. Think of a team that's big in the 80s.
Gerdingen.
Well done. 83. Last question. He's romped it again. He does it all the time, Robert. Don't worry about it. He does it like the many times I don't like going against him in the quiz. But the last one, speaking of player of the years, which German international has won 3 Bundesliga player of the years? 4-2 clubs between the years of 2002 and 2005.
Closer?
Nope. 2 clubs. And there was one player won it in between them at least 4 years. 3 or 4 years he won it.
A German player, you said?
German internationalist, yes. For 2 clubs. Colin, any more guesses?
Torsten Frings.
Nope. 3 years in a row for Torsten Frings. German internationalist. If I give you the clubs, you'll know.
Wait, 2002 and 2005,
that's 4 years of wins, and one was not him.
Balak.
Well done.
Yeah.
Michael Ballack for Bayer Leverkusen and Bayern Munich, which leaves the scores at Robert on 3 and Colin wins again on 9. He's far too quick, isn't he, Robert? He knows his stuff.
Congratulations,
He's our knowledgeable man on the German Football Podcast.
I have to go back to the drawing board here.
I said big in the, I literally only said they were big in the 80s, Uerdingen. Straight out came out of it. So fair play to Colin on that one. I thought that was a bit of a difficult quiz anyway. But to get 9 points on that, I'm going to give you this a fair one. So hopefully it will be a good weekend as we come up to some more Bundesliga matches. Again, obviously it feels like there've not been many recently, but with Hertha playing, there's still been some Bundesliga action. So looking forward to it starting from Thursday, the day the podcast actually goes out, through to Sunday. So plenty of action coming up for you over the weekend. So hopefully it's a good weekend and we'll see you then.
Scotland!